I want to welcome you again to our worship this morning, and listen again to the words that we just sang in that last verse. Our hope and expectation of Jesus, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun so longed for, above the darkened sphere of the earth. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. Let's pray. Oh God, may that be our prayer today as we plead, like the song says, with our hearts and our hands uplifted, that we might get to see your salvation made real on earth. And Lord, we know we are such imperfect people, but we've experienced your redeeming love. We've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And so we offer our lives to you, and we pray that through the witness of your work in our lives, others might come to know you as their Savior as well. And during this season of Advent, God, please help us not get lost in all the things that would distract us, and help us be attentive with fresh eyes and open hearts so that we're able to see how it is that you have come to set people free and bring hope to a dark world. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. One thing I appreciate about our Sunday gatherings is that for at least an hour, we stop all the running around and hopefully are giving attention in our minds and our hearts to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to draw us back to our first love. And today that is so important because there is no season, I don't believe there is any other season of the year that is more fractured and distracting than the one we're in right now. As I left the house the other day, my wife Bonnie said, "Wow, time to switch gears, Eric. You know, Thanksgiving, and now we're moving to Christmas." And she's right on. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. It's like from last Thursday on to Christmas. So, you know, we go through Black Friday, tomorrow's Cyber Monday, and boom, we're at Christmas. And yet these 4 weeks out from the actual celebration of Jesus' birth, we're now in this thing we call Advent, which isn't actually prescribed in the Bible anywhere, but has been part of church tradition since about the 5th century, so quite a long time. The word Advent comes from Latin, the words advenire, which generically means to come. But we think of Advent as a season of anticipation and a very specific coming. And our intention is to get ourselves during Advent into a frame of mind that once again looks forward, that looks forward to the arrival of Jesus as a baby lying in a manger. But that is not the only Advent that is at play here when we talk about the Advent season. Because we also look forward, and we sang it actually earlier in another song, and we heard it in Scripture in the Matthew text. We also look forward to the day when Jesus will come again. We look forward to his second coming. We sometimes call it a second Advent that's prophesied in Scripture repeatedly, and that's going to be when he returns with incredible power and bring this world to its final end. Just a little aside, I finally finished my summer reading of the Narnia Chronicles, The Last Battle. Some of you know that reference, when the world ends and we see the new creation. When Jesus returns, it will be the final death blow to evil, and when Jesus' eternal kingdom is realized completely. So both ways, when we understand Advent, these are critically important for us as followers. And they both add, I think, a sense of urgency to our life, because if we share God's passion for lost people to be found and for his justice to be realized in these days, then we need to be attentive to what's important to God and what he'd love to accomplish through our lives. You may remember about a month ago, and I told the story right after, Bonnie and I attended a wedding in Tulsa of a friend of ours, a younger friend, and how it was actually in a Greek Orthodox church. I had never been in Greek Orthodox worship before. It was fascinating. And how I had been invited to read the epistle lesson, the one of the letters of Paul, during the ceremony. And how as I got up to read, the priest read out to the congregation a word of encouragement from the traditional liturgy. And he said this. He said, "Let us be attentive." Just for fun, can we all say that together? Let us be attentive. And that struck me. I think this is going to stick with me for a long time. I'm probably going to tell you about it again. But the notion here is incredibly important for us as we approach God's Word, as we approach the Bible. Because we believe that the Word of God informs our lives and it teaches us how to live. How important it is, in essence, to pay attention to what God is speaking to us. That's really what it's saying. That we notice how the Holy Spirit helps us understand how to navigate life. And about having a sense of urgency to live for God's good and for the sake of other people. That's the message of the gospel. Both here in our, as Lindsay referred to earlier, our 5x5, our 5-mile radius, our 5 neighbors, and beyond. The lectionary readings, the assigned readings for this season of Advent that we're going to be using for the next really 5 Sundays is being used in hundreds of thousands of churches around the world today on this first Sunday of Advent. And it's pretty significant because the text from Romans 13 is where we are, and the Apostle Paul there calls Christians through all generations to pay attention to what's going on in the world and to how our lives can now, today, make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ in the world. So with that in mind, if you haven't already, would you open your Bible or your app to Romans 13? We're going to be looking at verses 11 to 14. Romans 13, ramping up to this verse 11, Paul has just reminded his readers how God wants us to care for other people and to love our neighbors as ourselves. He reiterates the great commandment of Jesus and one of the great commandments. And now he takes us, I think, to a deeply personal level with this. So follow along at verse 11, where Paul writes this. He says, "And do this, love your neighbor as yourself, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Go back to verse 11, first part. "And do this, understanding the present time." So first off, it's like he's saying, pay attention. Do you see that there? It's like, pay attention, and then he goes on, to the reality of sin and suffering in a dark generation, the world we live in, and how if we're going to have any part in bringing the light and hope of salvation to our world, we're really going to have to understand what's going on in the present time, in our generation. And then he immediately calls us to wake up to that reality, for us to stop, as some people have put it, to stop sleepwalking through life and ignoring how desperately the world needs Jesus Christ. and how people's eternal salvation depends on that relationship of knowing Jesus. And the world is a desperately sad place. We know that. But we're not left in the dark for a moment here. Paul takes us immediately in verse 12. He says, understanding the present time, but the night is nearly over. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. You know what that's like? To go through a long night of sleeplessness and then to see the horizon gradually getting lighter? That's where we are. The day is almost here. The advent of Jesus' birth and second coming signal the coming of the dawn. At his birth, light and hope came into the world as it never had before. Read through the Old Testament. It had never been there like it was now at the coming of Jesus. And that signaled the coming of the end of Satan's influence in the world. Things still get ugly. All you got to do is read the news to know that. But hope is on the way. Like in one of the Alpha Course sessions, some of you will remember this, when they talk about this, and they talk about Christmas, it's like Christmas is D-Day. You know, D-Day, the day of the Allied invasion of Europe that really turned the tide of Nazi aggression, and as they invaded the coast of France, they started pushing the Nazis back. Victory was pretty well assured at that time. But it wasn't until VE Day, Victory in Europe Day, 11 months later, when the war was completely over. So like with VE Day, we look at the advent of Jesus' second coming as the time when sin and death, I mean, the death blow has already been dealt, but it's still struggling, but at that point, it will come to an end forever. So it's kind of like we live in this in-between time, like between D-Day and VE Day, and God calls us to be part of his mopping up operation that will bring it all to conclusion, which is why we're encouraged here in our own lives to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. There's something deeply hopeful about that, but also very important for us to consider. These things that come next are the deeds of darkness. The deeds of darkness. Images here of darkness and light paint the picture of what is really at stake, the dark of evil and the light of Christ. We have to see those two as opposing. And Paul wants us, God wants us, to pay attention to this reality and not just live in the darkness. In the paraphrase of this text in The Message, Eugene Peterson paraphrases it like this. He says, we can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. So these are the deeds of darkness he's talking about. And then he pushes it in verse 14 and says, get out of bed and get dressed. This is the wake up part. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Dress yourselves in Christ. Get yourself up and about. Wake up, pay attention, and clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I make a suggestion? For as much effort as you might be putting into clothing your home and your life for Christmas, decorating, baking, shopping, gifting, all that kind of stuff, all the typical stressors of this season, what if we made it priority one, to clothe ourselves with Christ. To clothe ourselves with Christ. To spend time with him in prayer, in reading his word, and in immersing back into the story of his advent, both first and second coming. To allow that story to become real in us again, for us to be clothed with Jesus above all other things. 300 years ago, a very popular preacher in the UK, a guy named Matthew Henry, some of you know this name, he picked up on this and he wrote in his commentary on the book of Romans these words. He said, Jesus Christ is the best clothing for Christians to adorn themselves with, to arm themselves with. It is decent, distinguishing, dignifying, and defending. Without Christ, we are naked, deformed. All other things are filthy rags, fig leaves, a sorry shelter. And he concludes saying, but God has provided us coats. Large, strong, warm, and durable. What a great picture. How incredibly hopeful that we could be clothed with Jesus Christ right now. So let us pray together. So then, come, long-expected Jesus. Wake us up to the reality of what it means to be people of hope living in the midst of a world that has lost hope. People of light living in a world of darkness. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear the sorrow and the injustices, the fears and the anxieties of our neighbors, both near and far, who don't yet know your saving love. And then clothe us, Jesus. Overwhelm us with the large, warm, and durable clothing that you are in our lives, so that the insidious desires, those desires of the flesh, would have no attraction for us. And we look forward with joy to your advent, both of the manger and of you coming again in glory. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to give us strength and discernment for these days, so that we might live in the hope of our first love, Jesus Christ, in whose name we live and in whose name we pray.